installed the belt, too. This and the hole were the illegal acts that I had to do myself. Another locked door opened into the warehouse. The automatic forklift truck was busily piling cans onto the belt and digging fresh ones out of the ceiling-high piles. This forklift had hardly enough brains to be called a robot. It just followed taped directions to load the cans. I stepped around it and dog-trotted down the aisle. Behind me, the sounds of my illegal activity died away. It gave me a warm feeling to still hear it going full blast like that. It had been one of the nicest little rackets I had ever managed. For a small capital outlay, I had rented the warehouse that backed on the government warehouse. A simple hole in the wall, and I had access to the entire stock of stored goods, long-term supplies that I knew would be untouched for months or years in a warehouse this size. Untouched, that is, until I came along. After the hole had been made and the belt installed, it was just a matter of business. I hired the robots to remove the old labels and substitute the colorful ones I had printed. Then I marketed my goods in a strictly legal fashion. My stock was the best, and due to my imaginative operation, my costs were very low. I could afford to undersell my competitors and still make a handsome profit. The local wholesalers had been quick to sense a bargain, and I had orders for months ahead. It had been a good operation, and could have gone on for quite a while. I stifled that train of thought before it started. One lesson that has to be remembered in my line of business is that when an operation is over, it is over. The temptation to stay just one more day, or to cash just one more check, can be almost overwhelming. Ah, how well I know. I also know that it is also the best way to get better acquainted with the police. Turn your back and walk away, and live to graft another day. That's my motto, and it's a good one. I got where I am because I stuck to it. And daydreams aren't part of getting away from the police. I pushed all thoughts from my mind as I reached the end of the aisle. The entire area outside must have been swarming with cops by this time, and I had to move fast and make no mistakes. A fast look right and left. Nobody in sight. 2 steps ahead and press the elevator button. I had put a meter on this back elevator, and it showed that the thing was used once a month on the average. It arrived in about 3 seconds, empty, and I jumped in, thumbing the roof button at the same time. The ride seemed to go on forever, but that was just subjective. By the record, it was exactly 14 seconds. This was the most dangerous part of the trip. I tightened up as the elevator slowed. My 75 caliber recoilless was in my hand. That would take care of one cop, but no more. The door shuffled open, and I relaxed. Nothing. They must have the entire area covered on the ground, so they hadn't bothered to put cops on the roof. In the open air now, I could hear the sirens for the first time. A wonderful sound. They must have had half of the entire police force out from the amount of noise they were making. I accepted it as any artist accepts tribute. The board was behind the elevator shaft where I had left it. A little weather-stained, but still strong. A few seconds to carry it to the edge of the parapet and reach it across to the next building. Gently, this was the one dangerous spot where speed didn't count. Carefully onto the end of the board, the suitcase held against my chest to keep my center of gravity over the board. 1 step at a time, 1,000-foot drop to the ground. If you don't look down, you can't fall. Over. Time for speed. The board behind the parapet, if they didn't see it at first, my trail would be covered for a while at least. 10 fast steps, and there was the door to the stairwell. It opened easily, and it better have. I had put enough oil on the hinges. Once inside, I threw the bolt and took a long, deep breath. I wasn't out of it yet, but the worst part where I ran the most risk was past. 2 uninterrupted minutes here, and they would never find James Bolivar, alias Slippery Jim DeGriz. The stairwell at the roof was a musty, badly lit cubicle that was never visited. I had checked it carefully a week before for phono and optic bugs, and it had been clear. The dust looked undisturbed, except for my own footprints. I had to take a chance that it hadn't been bugged since then. The calculated risk must be accepted in this business. Goodbye, James DeGriz, weight 98 kilos, age about 45, thick in the middle and heavy in the jowls, a typical business.